Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Junie Riddle. Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Taking your thoughts all show long on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Junie and I will be with you until noon today here on the program. If you missed it, the Predators-Avalanche game, originally scheduled to take place today at 1 o'clock, has been postponed. There was a water main break around Bridgestone Arena. There has been significant disruptions caused at Bridgestone Arena due to the water main break, and John Henry was just talking to some media members. I saw a video that got put out there on social media. It says in some places there's as much as 3 feet of water. That's a lot of water that they're having to deal with at Bridgestone Arena right now. So no game between the Predators and the Avalanche today. The NHL will announce a makeup date for that game at a later time. Predators are also scheduled to take on Columbus tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena, and no decision has been made on that game as of yet. So we'll keep you updated on the very latest on that front. So, Junie, obviously not the way that we wanted things to go today with the Predators with a water main break and not being able to play the game against Colorado. Was looking forward to that game and the test that it was going to be for the Predators. They lose 3-0 the other night against Detroit. If you watch the game, I actually thought they played okay for the most part in that game. Just couldn't finish, and a couple of chances ended up in the back of their net for Detroit. Overall, based on the homestand where they went 4-0-1, they just lost the game to Detroit. John Hines seemed to be pretty happy with the way that they played after the game. Overall, where do you think this Predators team is right now? Just in their game, the way that they're playing, and how they move forward from here as the NHL season continues to build?
Well, we talked about it a little bit earlier, when we weren't on the air, about how they just kind of been adjusting their lineup a little bit here and there, trying to find out who plays good with who, how can they adjust these different lines to get the most production out of this team. And kind of like you mentioned, yeah, they did lose 3-0 to Detroit, but, you know, I watched a little bit of that game. I have had a lot going on this week, so didn't get to catch all of it. But I think the difference that I saw here was that the puck movement was a lot better. Like you said, there was a lot of scoring opportunities, and the goaltender for Detroit played really, really well in that game. I mean, it wasn't like they didn't have lack of scoring opportunities, which has been a huge issue for this team. So, you know, that aspect of it has gotten a lot better. But when I look at this team in total, I kind of look at last year, and last year they kind of had a hot start to the season and they didn't really finish as well. I would rather them have a slower start to the season and start to figure things out in the second half after the All-Star break, rather than having a hot start and then kind of scrambling to figure out what they're going to do when it comes to playoff time. So I think all of these adjustments are really trying to find out what this team can be. I think some of the newer guys are really starting to find their niche on this team as well. So things are getting a little bit better for the Predators, and I think that going forward, we're going to see them gradually improve as the season goes, rather than having a hot start to the season and then kind of seeing them decline as it goes along.
I would kind of put it this way. I think their game is in way less of a volatile spot than it was a couple of weeks ago. On that road trip, I mean, they were just making terrible decisions with the puck a couple of weeks ago, turnovers left and right. I mean, on top of that, you weren't getting great goaltending from UC Saros, and that started to change as they got back home for the homestand. I just feel like with some of the lineup decisions that you mentioned that they've made, with Parsonen coming up, I think he's fit in really well with the role that he's in. I love moving Josi over to the right with McDonough. I think they've looked really good together for the most part, and it kind of frees Josi up and allows him to just go, and you know that McDonough is reliable as the stay-at-home defenseman there. I just feel like they're making better decisions for the most part right now, and you're never going to be perfect. It's hockey. A lot of it is just reading and reacting, and you get a bad bounce here or there, or you make the wrong decision, it ends up in the back of your net. You're never going to be perfect in that area, but I just feel like they're in a much better spot with their game right now than they were this time 2 weeks ago. So, I mean, even the Detroit game, they got shut out the other night. I thought for the most part they looked okay in that game. Now, obviously, you need to score and you don't want to get shut out, but it's just one of those things that I look at this Predators team right now and I just feel like their game is in a much better spot. And regardless, I mean, you're not going to get the results every night if that's the case, but if your game is in a good spot, more often than not, you're going to like the way the results play in your favor on that standpoint. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators assistant coach Dan Hino. Dan, good morning. How are we doing?
It's Alvin.
Good morning. Things are a bit hectic around here at the rink, as you can imagine, but just trying to get all the stuff away from the water and figure out our new game plan.
I was going to say, obviously not something that anybody planned on this morning, but when things are happening as they are right now, what do you do as the coaching staff? What do you do with the team? What's this morning been like for you guys?
Well, it's, you know, the good thing is as hockey players and coaches, you're kind of built for these kind of situations, so you just pivot. You know, Heinze moves everything to Centennial, and we schedule a practice, and then, you know, we get ready for Columbus. And, you know, who knows what that looks like. We could be going there. We could, maybe they're still able to pull the game together for tomorrow. You know, that's kind of the fun part of being in this world is never a dull day.
Yeah, never a dull day, no question about it. So, Dan, we were just talking about the game for you guys in terms of the way you've played over the last couple of weeks. And just personally, I feel like you guys have been building and building the last couple of weeks to a point where it's been much better. From your standpoint, what do you make of the game you guys have played the last couple of weeks, where it is, and where you think you guys can continue to build from here?
Yeah, that's kind of what happened in the first 20 games, right? You get some new players. Everybody's trying to figure out where they fit in the puzzle. You implement a couple new systems. Those take some time. You know, so you hope by game 20, everything's kind of in order. And, you know, you're firing on all cylinders because games 20 to 40 become tougher. And then, obviously, the next 20 becomes even more tough. So you know, the first 20 games, you're just trying to get everything in line because, you know, things are about to get a lot tougher. You know, and this is where teams start to separate is basically 20 to 40. So you have to have your systems dialed in. And I feel like our guys are doing a great job grasping the systems and implementing them, and that's what you're seeing in our game. Our overall game is much better than it was in Game 5, for instance. So yeah, hopefully we can, you know, continue on that train because it's looking better and better every day.
Dan, from the coaching staff perspective, when you have a huge game against the defending champions, Avalanche, coming into Bridgestone Arena, what's the message to the team to be able to pivot from being ready for a game and then kind of saying, hey, you know, we're going to have to reschedule this. We have to change the focal point. So what is the message to the team to kind of get their minds right and set and ready to go after being so mentally set for a huge game at home?
Well, yeah, you know what? That again, the beauty of our sport is with so many back-to-backs, you have to be able to compartmentalize all that stuff. So, you know, you have a little spot for Colorado, you know, but you also have a spot for Columbus, which is the next day, you know. And, you know, Colorado takes up 99% of your focus. And then as soon as that game's finished, which now it is for us today, you just quickly move on to Columbus. And that's, you know, it's funny. I was talking to Chris Mason the other day about Wall Street. And when I was talking to one of the Wall Street guys, they love recruiting athletes because athletes can take a loss, right? In Wall Street, you're going to take a loss sometime. You got to be able to focus and kind of clean the slate and start over, you know, that day. And that's what, you know, on my point is that these guys are resilient mentally. You know, they're with the back-to-back game, it doesn't matter. You can't get too high, get too low. So, yeah, they were prepared for Colorado, but as you know, as 3 o'clock happens and the final buzzer goes, you know, they're already thinking about Columbus. So basically, that's basically what they'll have to get done today is we'll practice today or do whatever here at the rink, and they'll compartmentalize what could have been Colorado with them.
Press assistant coach Dan Hynote with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Dan, what have been your impressions of Yusuf Parson and just the way not only that he's played, but the way that he's handled his role thus far early in his NHL career?
Well, we threw him right in the fire, you know. First line duties against the other team's top players. You know, there's no other trial that's going to put you to the test other than that. So, and he's done admirably, in my opinion. He makes mistakes just like everyone else makes mistakes. But, you know, for a young kid asked to come in and play a prominent role and play with our best players, he's done a phenomenal job. You know, and he's got ice in his veins. For a young kid, you know, usually you're going to run into some growing pains of that wide-eyed playing against your boyhood hero type stuff. You know, you go to a bigger arena, maybe they haven't played in it yet. Like all these things, and he doesn't seem to be affected by it. So, you know, knock on wood, it's still early, but he's done a great job so far.
Dan, last thing for you, just the versatility that Colton Sissons brings to the table. You guys have tried him in a bunch of different spots. He plays in every role, basically, for you guys. How valuable is a guy like Sissons for your group?
Oh, you can't, that's how you win. You got to have guys like him that you can plug in, literally, in any position, in any role, and he doesn't bat an eye, doesn't complain, he just goes to work. You know, he's your perfect Swiss Army knife for all situations. He's done a phenomenal job on the kill this year, and you know, his face-offs are great, his line mates have changed probably 30 times, and every time he's on a line, they've done well, you know, and so, you know, I can't speak enough to his value to our team and the play that he's been putting on the ice, because, you know, some nights he's playing 18, 19 minutes or the most 5-on-5 minutes of anybody. So, you know, to go from a third, fourth line role into that, he did it seamlessly, and like I said, it's just another day for him. So we love him, and he's a huge part of this puzzle.
Well, Dan, we really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. We know it's been an incredibly hectic morning and not the way anybody wanted things to go today, but appreciate your time, and hopefully we'll see you on the ice tomorrow.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Preds assistant coach Dan Hinote, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll look ahead to Tennessee and Vanderbilt, a big one coming up on West End tomorrow. That's ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Preds and Avalanche have been postponed today, originally scheduled to take place at 1 o'clock. Water main break around Bridgestone Arena, so no game today between the Predators and the Avs. That game will be made up at a later time. We'll see what the status looks like for the Predators and Columbus, scheduled to take place at Bridgestone Arena tomorrow night. Thanks to Dan Hinote, Predators assistant coach, for joining us in the last segment. Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, you're giving the Preds way too much credit. They're not that good this year. They're having the same type of season they've had since Hines became coach. They're going to barely make it in the playoffs, losing the first round, and Hines and Poile will declare it a successful season. Well, look, I just said that they're playing better than they were 2 weeks ago. That's all I said.
I didn't say
that they were blowing the world on fire or anything.
I mean, I agree with that. I mean, listen, I thought
their game's in a much better spot now than it was 2 weeks ago. That's all I said.
Because they were playing horrible 2 weeks
ago. They're the best team in the league.
I felt like they couldn't really do anything right. I mean, defensive transition, Sarles was playing awful. The power play, they couldn't buy a goal on the power play. I mean, things are looking a lot better. That's not here to say that they're contenders or we expect them to go into the playoffs and make a bunch of noise, but yeah, they've been playing better, and I think that, you know, the adjustments that they've made, you know, Parsonen seems to be that guy that they can play at, you know, in the top six. So, you know, yeah, things are looking a little bit better, but hey, we're not overhyping this team right now. I think
we're not playing the cup parade just yet.
We're just excited that they're not going to be, you know, a bottom feeder team.
Yeah,
that's all.
Looking ahead to Tennessee and Vanderbilt coming up tomorrow on West End, and all of a sudden, Junie, this game has gotten way more interesting in the last couple of weeks than it was this time 3-4 weeks ago. Obviously, you know, Vanderbilt's won two games in a row, two very impressive wins against Kentucky and then against Florida. You ended a 26-game losing streak in the SEC, and now you've won two in a row. So I think that speaks really well to what Clark Lea is building over at Vanderbilt And then you factor on top of that, Tennessee got their doors blown off last week against South Carolina, and now Hendon Hooker is out for the remainder of the year. So obviously that's a huge loss for Tennessee with Hendon Hooker being out. Joe Milton steps in as the starting quarterback. What do you make of this matchup, and specifically from the Tennessee point of view? You're 9-2. Your college football playoff dreams are over at this point, but you do have a chance to win 10 games for the first time in a long time for that football program. I wonder what they're going to look like tomorrow in terms of the focus, the intensity. You know, we're talking about 18 to 22, 23, 24-year-olds that, you know, we've seen this happen time and time again in college football when you either lose out on a conference championship chance or a college football playoff chance. Sometimes you can keep playing and things continue to go well. Sometimes it completely spirals on some of these teams, and last week was bad for Tennessee. I'm really interested to see how they look, how they come out tomorrow, and what the intensity level is in this game for Tennessee. But what do you make of this matchup between Tennessee and Vanderbilt?
Well, I'll say this. I have not been a Vanderbilt believer this season at all. I think, you know, we always pick Vanderbilt on Michelle and I's show on the weekend, and I typically always take the other team on the line. But, you know, they've really showed me something the last couple weeks. And I think a big factor of this is the way they've been playing on special teams. I mean, we've seen a field goal block. We've seen a touchdown by the long snapper.
Yeah,
I mean,
buddy.
They've been making a lot of plays. And on top of that, you know, they were getting really good field position against Florida on kickoff returns, getting the ball out to the 35, the 40-yard line, and setting up Mike Wright with good positioning. So, you know, there's a lot to this game, but I really don't understand the hype that, you know, people are putting on Vanderbilt likely to win. Like Kirk Herbstreit coming out a week before the game kind of saying that he's already anticipating that Vanderbilt's going to get the upset, and basically that's his big called shot. I just don't buy it. I really don't. This would be the first time that if Vanderbilt were to get a win, Robbie, this would be the first time they beat Florida, Kentucky, and Tennessee in the same season since 2013. And get this one. I did go back and look this up. The last time that Tennessee beat Alabama and lost to Vanderbilt in the same season was 1982. It's been 40 years since that's happened. And is it going to happen this year? With Hendon Hooker going out, with, you know, with Vanderbilt kind of emerging as not such, you know, a lackluster team towards the end of the season, I don't think so. I think Tennessee offensively is too good. I think it was more of an anomaly the way they played against South Carolina. I mean, they only got two QB pressures, only one sack in that game. They in against Alabama, 8 pressures, you know, 1 sack in that game. They weren't getting after the quarterback. This secondary has been a liability for this team all year long, but the way that they've played against the run, the way that they have, you know, rushed the quarterback into throws has been the reasoning they've kind of got through some of these games. And I just think that South Carolina, they just couldn't get it done. And I just don't see that being a reoccurring thing going into Vanderbilt this weekend.
Well, look, we know what a huge game this is for Vanderbilt. You're 5-6. You've got a chance to be bowl eligible. It's your biggest rival in Tennessee. Like, I have no question in my mind that Vanderbilt's going to be ready to go in this game, and they're going to be ready to play. And whatever Vanderbilt's best shot is, Tennessee's probably going to get it coming up tomorrow. I have no doubt about that game. I, from a program standpoint at Tennessee, I think this is a huge game. Like, I really do, because you've had the best season that you've had in a long time for Tennessee football. And if you close it out by getting thumped by South Carolina and losing to Vanderbilt, nobody's going to view it that way.
Oh, no.
Nobody's going to view it that way. I mean, the win against Alabama is great. You destroyed LSU. There's a lot to be really proud of and happy with if you're a Tennessee fan this year. And, look, there's no question about it. They're ahead of schedule. They are ahead of schedule when it comes to Josh Heupel and the program that they're building. But if you close the year out by getting smoked by – an okay South Carolina team and a Vanderbilt team that up until last couple of weeks hadn't won an SEC game in 26 games. Like, that's not going to be a very positive way to close out the season. So, look, I think Josh Heupel knows that. I think the coaching staff and the people that are trying to build the program know that. The question is, like, the players. When the players, and like I said, you're dealing with 18 to 23-year-olds, and they just had the college football playoff ripped out of their hands last week. How do you respond? That's going to be the question. And look, you know, a lot of it's obviously going to come down to Joe Milton and the way that he plays at quarterback. He's not Hendon Hooker. He's got a great arm. He's got a lot of ability. But can you channel that and make the throws that are available to you and hit open receivers? Because I do think the one thing in this game that I feel pretty confident about, like, Tennessee's going to get open. Jalen Hyatt's been getting open all year. Cedric Tillman can get open. Brew McCoy's a good player. Like, they're going to get open in this game. Can Joe Milton hit them? That's a lot of what the game's going to come down to. But I think this is a way more important game for Tennessee than most people are making it out to be. Like, I understand there's disappointment that you're not in the college football playoff, and there's obviously disappointment for getting 63 hung up on you last week against South Carolina. But Tennessee needs to win this game, and they need to win it, I think, in impressive fashion. 10-2 is nothing to sneeze at. And if you lose the game, I think it takes a lot of what has been a really positive situation so far this year, and it pours some of it down the drain. And you can't allow that to happen if you're Josh Heupel and this Tennessee team.
If they were to lose to Vanderbilt, this would actually really hit home to me. Because I have seen a season similar with a team that, you know, I grew up watching. I remember in 2016 when Louisville and Lamar Jackson kind of broke out, and they were like the hottest team. They had a huge win, kind of how Tennessee beat Alabama. You know, Louisville beat Florida State very handily, and then that kind of projected Lamar Jackson into the Heisman race. And then they had that huge matchup, and this is kind of similar to Tennessee-Georgia against Deshaun Watson and Clemson. And it was a close game, and Clemson ended up coming out on top on that. And Louisville was ranked third in the nation at that time, so they were top three team. After that, they kind of collapsed. Yep. They lost against Houston. They lost against a really, really weak Kentucky team to end the year in a huge upset, and the team kind of fell apart. I don't think this Tennessee team is that team. Joe Milton has a lot to play for.
He does.
You know, he wants to get this job next year, and I think this is a tryout, especially when you have the number one quarterback, Nico, coming in next year. This is a big game for Joe Milton in this offense, and I think with the receivers and Josh Heupel's scheme, I think that they're going to be able to have enough talent and enough salt in the wound from South Carolina to be able to respond and bounce back from that awful loss down there in South Carolina.
Well, if you're the defense, how do you respond after just getting embarrassed last week? I mean, you got totally embarrassed. South Carolina punted one time in the game. Other than that, they scored on every possession other than the kneel down before half. I mean, they just totally destroyed you last week. So if you're a member of that defense, regardless of all the rumors and the Jeremy Banks stuff and everything we've talked about all week, like, there's a little bit of pride that should be on the line if you're this Tennessee defense, given the way that things went last time out. Now, it's more complicated than that. You got to stop what Vanderbilt's been doing. And right now, Tennessee's defense, they're susceptible. And we're going to see how they respond to that tomorrow. But I would hope if you're a member of that Tennessee defense, a little bit of pride on the line based on what happened last time that you're on the field. We'll take your thoughts on Tennessee and Vanderbilt, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. More on that game coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Is this Napoleon Dynamite?
Yes, it is.
Does that mean you owe me a dollar?
I guess so, yeah.
You don't have to pay me a dollar.
That's a proud dollar, honestly.
I didn't think you were young enough. You were old enough to know what Napoleon Dynamite was.
Dude, don't take my tots.
I've never been more proud of you than I am right now. What a film. Takes me back to 2005. Well,
Chase McCabe has a lot of old pop culture references that I don't know about.
He's an old man.
So at least I can make you proud, I guess.
Well, that's what we're here for. Way to go, Nick. Well done. Taking your thoughts on Tennessee and Vanderbilt coming up tomorrow at Vanderbilt Stadium, First Bank Stadium, excuse me. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So we've talked about this game from the Tennessee perspective, Junie. I think there should be a lot on the line for Tennessee in this game, and I'm interested to see how they come out and play. We know what's on the line for Vanderbilt in terms of the postseason, getting bowl eligible, winning three SEC games in a row and just continuing some positive momentum. And look, if they beat Tennessee tomorrow, Vanderbilt fans are going to be fired up, and they should be if they beat Tennessee tomorrow. What have you made of how Vanderbilt has been able to turn things around the last couple of weeks, and just the way that Mike Wright in particular has come in after having his starting job taken away from him this year? AJ Swan was the starter, and now all of a sudden Mike Wright is stuck in there, which is not always easy to do in today's college football, and he's got two wins against two SEC opponents to show for it the last couple of weeks. I think it's a really cool story, and I think Mike Wright deserves a lot of credit for what he's done.
Well, I saw a stat, and it said that Vanderbilt was number one in the SEC in touchdowns on special teams and defense. And they were also, I think, third in all of FBS in that stat as well. So when you look at a guy like Mike Wright and his running capability, making plays with his legs, extending the play, I think that kind of fits more towards the identity of this team than when Swan was in there and kind of trying to sling the ball around. I think what Vanderbilt wants to do is to kind of control the pace of the game, and I think that they do that a lot better through running the ball and playing good defense and being sound on both ends. And I think that that's kind of been part of their turnaround. And yeah, he did lose his job, but, I mean – he was winning games early on in the year, and of course, you know, the competition hadn't ramped up. They hadn't hit the SEC schedule, but I think that the way that he plays the game is more tailor-suited towards what Vanderbilt wants to do as a team and kind of what Clark Lee would like to do as a coach, and I think he's going to protect the ball a little bit better. But tough matchup against Tennessee. You know, if Tennessee's defense has done one thing, it is to be able to control the running game of their opponent. Obviously, their secondary is a little bit lacklustered, but I could definitely see Vanderbilt trying to whip out a bunch of trick plays and trying to pull anything they can in order to pull this upset at home.
Well, I think this is a really interesting kind of philosophical question for Vanderbilt, because – I think they're at their best when they run and when they try to run the football, and Ray Davis gets, you know, a good amount of carries in the game, and he gets a really good back. Obviously, we know what Mike Wright can bring to the table in the running game from the quarterback position. But you also, like, if you're Clark Lee watching the tape this week, you got to be looking at that Tennessee secondary right now and thinking, man, there are some plays that are available to be made down the field with guys like Will Shepard. Like, Will Shepard, I'd be excited if I was Will Shepard heading into this matchup at wide receiver for Vanderbilt, and what the opportunity could look like for you against this Tennessee secondary. And look, you know, it got totally exposed against South Carolina, no question about it. But Tennessee secondary hasn't been good all year. I mean, they've held it together at times, and they've made some plays, and, you know, they like to blitz a lot, so they've been relatively effective at getting at the quarterback. But the secondary has been a weak part of the defense all season long, and they just got totally exposed on Saturday against South Carolina. So it's an interesting philosophical question for me for Vanderbilt, in terms of you want to run the ball. I think you're really good when you do run the ball. If you're Vanderbilt, that's the way your offense needs to operate. But it's also, you got to be looking at this secondary right now and trying to determine, you know, how many shots are we comfortable taking, and what's the success we think we could have throwing the ball against this Tennessee defense. And Clark Lee spoke on the game plan against Tennessee coming up later this week, or early on the week here on this station. Here's what Clark Lee had to say.
There are going to be certain things that if we do against this offense, we'll be positioned for success. And if we don't versus this offense, you're positioned for disaster. And so capping the shots, being patient enough to force them to line it up and snap it over and over again. I think if you do that, you're going to be able to build to a stop, or you're going to have an opportunity to win in the red zone. You know, teams that allow this offense through the tempo personality and through their design, and their design's really good, to become explosive and to score explosive touchdowns, you know, you get involved in a back-and-forth shootout. And I don't know that that's the formula for us, you know, to think about how we as a program, you know, come away with an important win on Saturday.
So you heard him talk about it at the end there, you know, not really wanting to get into a shootout with Tennessee. And that tells me ball control, keeping the ball away from Tennessee's offense, running the football, trying to have some success that way. And then obviously the other part of this, Junie, is seeing what this Tennessee offense looks like without Hendon Hooker and trying to get some stops if you're Vanderbilt on the other side of the ball.
Well, if I'm Clark Lee and I see the way that my defense is playing, I think that, you know, playing Joe Milton is going to be obviously a lot better than playing Hendon Hooker because, you know, Joe Milton likes to throw the ball pretty hard. He likes to make big plays and take a lot more risk than Hendon Hooker is willing to make. So I think he sees this as an opportunity, especially with the way, you know, Tennessee likes to play their upbeat offense that, you know, if he's kind of rushing into things, he might be a little bit more prone to make some mistakes. And that's going to be the key in this game, too. Vanderbilt is going to have to force turnovers to get, you know, just to, number one, build some confidence against this high-octane offense, but to also kind of, you know, get that little seep a little doubt into Tennessee because, you know, they're obviously coming off probably one of the worst losses in program history. So it is a matter of mind games, too. It's like, where is this team at in general? And I think this kind of goes to what Heupel and company is doing. What is the message? How do you, resignate a loss and try and get your team to turn around and bounce back when they lost so much in one game? So it's going to be really interesting to see, but definitely with Vanderbilt and the way they play defense, you know, their advantage they have on special teams, it's going to be really interesting to see what their offensive scheme is going to be in order to take advantage of some of the woes that Tennessee has on defense.
Well, and, you know, could the weather be a factor in this game? You know, it could be raining throughout the game against Tennessee and Vanderbilt tomorrow, so how does that affect Tennessee's offense? Like, to me, that's better for Vanderbilt than it is for Tennessee. I know Hendon Hooker's out, but Tennessee's still going to try to throw the ball. They're going to try to hit some deep shots down the field in this game. And when you've got guys like Jalen Hyatt and Cedric Tillman and Brew McCoy running around out there, you're going to have some opportunities to do so. If you're Vanderbilt's defense, you've been pretty good the last couple of weeks. I know that, you know, Chris Rodriguez had a big game for Kentucky, but I think Vanderbilt's defense has made some big stops at key times last couple of weeks. They forced some turnovers last week against Florida, and that's the one thing about this that I'm interested to see. I mean, Hendon Hooker hardly ever turns the football over. I mean, it's you're almost shocked when he does turn the football over. You know, we don't have enough of a sample size with Joe Milton to really get a good grasp of that, but it's gonna be hard pressed for him to be as good as taking care of the football as Hendon Hooker was with the elements, with the weather. And with him being the starting quarterback now, how much more susceptible is Tennessee's offense to the turnover than they were with Hendon Hooker? Because that was something, Junie, that when Hooker's the quarterback, they just don't turn the ball over. That's been the case the last 2 years.
No, absolutely. And I want to kind of go towards Tennessee's defense here with this one. I mean, when you look at some of the lapses that they've actually had this year where teams have put up a lot of points, I mean, I look at mobile quarterbacks. I mean, Anthony Richardson had one of his best games against Tennessee. I mean, it was in a losing effort, but that was more or less because Tennessee's offense was unstoppable in that game, and they were scoring on just about every single drive. And then you look at Bryce Young and what he did to Tennessee's defense and his mobility in the pocket and evading oncoming rushers. This is a cause for concern for this team, and I know that Mike Wright isn't the best thrower of the football, but I anticipate a lot of RPOs in this game, and I feel like if Mike Wright can make the right decisions and just, you know, take care of the ball more than Joe Milton, it's going to be a close game going into the second half. But if Tennessee can take care of the ball, I just don't see how Vanderbilt stays in this game. I think that Vanderbilt will live and die by winning the turnover battle.
Take more of your thoughts on Tennessee and Vanderbilt coming up next. We'll also get into a very interesting weekend in college football coming up, including Michigan and Ohio State. Teron Davenport coming up at 10 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and the Bengals. All that ahead. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Junie Riddle, Nick Keyser here with you. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If you missed it, if you're planning on heading out to Bridgestone Arena for the Preds and Avalanche today, don't do that. Going to be postponed. That game has been postponed due to a water main break around Bridgestone Arena, dealing with lots of after effects of that right now. So No game between the Predators and the Avalanche today. The NHL will announce a makeup date for that game at a later time. Predators scheduled to take on the Columbus Blue Jackets tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena as well. And right now, no word as to whether or not that game is going to proceed as scheduled. So as more information is made available on that front, we'll keep you updated. In the meantime, taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Looking ahead to Tennessee and Vanderbilt and a big weekend of college football, rivalry weekend of college football. So a lot of big games coming up tomorrow and even today. The Egg Bowl last night, Mississippi State, the crazy pirate, taking down Lane Kiffin. So more drama in the Egg Bowl. Another weird game from the Egg Bowl last night, and we'll see if Lane Kiffin decides to hang around at Ole Miss.
He definitely left that door open last night. And I was like, it's so odd when a coach is like trying to put the fan base at ease, but then still leaves the door open about leaving.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, well, I feel like he's kind of like talking to Auburn there, saying, well, you know, if you give me a couple extra million there, you know, maybe I might think about it.
Maybe talking to Ole Miss too, like, you know,
a raise wouldn't be bad.
Let me tell you, it wouldn't hurt your chances. Always interesting to see the way that coaches kind of handle these press conferences this time of year. You know, we've been talking a lot about Tennessee and Vanderbilt. The line is down to Tennessee favored by 13.5. I think it opened up this week at 16.5. It's down to 13.5, which means there's a lot of money coming in on Vanderbilt in this game. What do you make of the line? Not even two touchdowns, right around two touchdowns for Tennessee in this game.
I personally think that's why. I just think it's recency biased. I mean, when you look at Vanderbilt beating Kentucky and Florida, I mean, they were, you know, Florida and Kentucky were both heavy favorites in those games. And, you know, Vanderbilt pulled through. But, I mean, listen, Tennessee's just a different breed. Like, even without Hendon Hooker, I mean, we kind of dissected Joe Milton a little bit, kind of, you know, pointing out some of his flaws. But, I mean, if you wanted a backup quarterback in any kind of situation, I mean, I feel like Joe Milton is a guy that you would want to have. So,
look, I'll be honest with you. Like, I think Joe Milton tomorrow is going to play pretty well. Like, I think he's got a lot of ability. I think he's more comfortable in the offense. I think the coaching staff is really excited about him. I'm not saying, you know, they're more excited than they were about Hendon Hooker, but I think he's going to play pretty well tomorrow. That's just the feeling I have.
I mean, he is a gunslinger, and his arm talent is something else. So, well, I think it was that deep ball to Squirrel White when they were playing Missouri.
I was in the stands for that one, and I had the perfect vantage point for it, and I was like, that ball is just hanging up there. It's not coming down. I mean, it was 65 yards in the air. It was unbelievable.
Which was something else. There's just not many guys out there that can just physically do that whatsoever. But, you know, I like Tennessee's chances. I think they're going to put the ball into a lot of their playmakers' hands. I think they're going to be able to run the ball a little bit more than what people expect them to do. And, you know, personally, I think all the money coming in on Vanderbilt is an advantage towards Tennessee. I think if I'm Josh Heupel, I'm like, I mean, you know, obviously coaches aren't really looking at the Vegas line and telling them, oh, you know, we were 16.5 point favorites, now we're 13.5. Like, sure. He's not saying that. But if you don't think that he's coming in there saying, you know, people are pretty hyped up. You know, Kirk Herbstreit is coming out on live television, probably the biggest voice for college football.
That's been brought up, I can guarantee
you. Listen. All the clipboard material is going towards Tennessee. And with Tennessee having such a high-octane offense, it's not going to surprise me if they come out and just thump Vanderbilt. So I personally think that all this noise is going to just only help Tennessee, and it's not doing Vanderbilt much service.
As far as the weekend of college football, obviously, you know, we were anticipating from Tennessee's standpoint this weekend really to be paying attention around the country this weekend, whether that be to Ohio State, Michigan, or USC, Notre Dame. There's some big ones this weekend that will affect the college football playoff. Now, obviously, here locally, the luster on that has been lost a little bit with Tennessee being knocked out of the college football race last weekend against South Carolina. As you look at this weekend, Junie, let's start with Michigan, Ohio State. What do you think of that matchup? It's in Columbus, so Ohio State is going to be the favorite in that game. They're right around 8-point favorite right now. What do you make of that matchup between Michigan and Ohio State, two undefeated teams in the Big Ten?
So, Michelle and I did a show from Barrel House a couple weeks ago, And we were kind of going through the scenario about how, you know, Tennessee would make it into the playoffs. And this is prior to the Georgia game. So we were kind of jacking the Georgia game as a potential loss. And if they were to lose, you know, who would be in and out? And in that instance, I said I guaranteed Ohio State to beat Michigan. And since then, I'm not so confident. I'm not so confident. But, you know, and Michigan hasn't played that well either. But the one thing that Michigan has going for them is an excellent run game and playing really good sound defense. They're not going to give a lot of opportunity to, you know, get the ball back to Ohio State. C.J. Stroud, in my opinion, is the X factor. And again, it's very easy to say because he is the quarterback of Ohio State, but we've seen him struggle at times this season. And this team goes as he goes. If he's firing on all cylinders, then I think that they win this game, and I think they win it pretty easily. I'm not going to lie to you. But if he starts to struggle a little bit, I think that that goes into Michigan's favor very heavily because they're not going to make a lot of mistakes. But I just think after last year and what Michigan did to them and how they kind of embarrassed Ohio State and getting that first win in a long time, being at home in Columbus, it's going to be a very rowdy crowd. I'm gonna take Ohio State. I think C.J. Stroud takes a huge leap and bound this weekend, and I think that after this weekend, he's going to be the number one favorite for the Heisman.
I don't really know what to make of either one of these teams, to be honest with you, just because I think the Big Ten is down this year, and both of these teams, whether it be Ohio State or Michigan, have had games where they just looked like almost like they were sleepwalking through it. Like last week, I watched a lot of the Michigan-Illinois game. I know Illinois's got a good defense, and you know they've had a good year, but I was watching Michigan play offensively, and I know Blake Corum got hurt, and I was just like, man, I just can't really tell how good this team is. So I'm really interested in this game tomorrow to see how Michigan comes out and how they're able to play defense against Ohio State. I agree with you. Like if Stroud's on, I think Ohio State's probably going to win by a couple touchdowns in this game. If he's not, then I do think formula-wise, the defense is good enough for Michigan to give them some problems. And if you can run the ball with any sort of success in this game, then I think formula-wise, Michigan is set up to beat Ohio State. I just don't really know what to make of either one of them because I think both of them have had several games this year where they've looked less than impressive. And, you know, we can talk about Michigan's non-conference schedule and all that stuff. But I'm really interested to see how this one goes. And the winner of it in the playoff, like when they play whoever it'll be in the playoff, I'm interested to see what they look like there too, because I can't really get a good gauge of what these two teams are in a Big Ten that I think is pretty down this year.
Oh, I know. I totally agree. I think this is one of the worst years for the Big Ten. But my biggest question is, can Michigan, you know, keep up scoring-wise with Ohio State? Like what is the threshold? I say if Ohio State gets more than 31 points, I think they win this game.
Oh, for sure.
And I don't think that's very controversial to say at all. It's really going to come down to the matchup of C.J. Stroud against this Michigan defense. If they can – the reason they beat them last year is because Aiden Hutchinson kept him under constant duress in that game. And if they can get the same impact, you know, rushing on the edges, get a good push up front, then, you know, they're going to be in this game. And the way that they're able to run the ball, they could wear Ohio State down. But me personally, I really like C.J. Stroud as a player. I was really down on him early last year, but the way that he's kind of developed and moved along with his progressions, I really like him, and I'm calling it. I just think that he's going to have a big game this weekend. I think that he's going to have an edge about him, about the way the Michigan game went last year. I think it was kind of an embarrassment for Ohio State. I think they fully expected to win that game last season, and they did not. And Michigan kind of beat them up physically on all aspects of the game. And I'm taking Ohio State at home. I just think that that home field advantage, I've been there for a game before. It is a very loud and ruckus, passionate crowd, and they do not like Michigan. They do not. So I just think with all that going for them, I just don't think Michigan can put up enough points to beat Ohio State. And I'm sticking with my guarantee. I'm not as confident about it now, but I guaranteed Ohio State was going to win a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to stick to my guns, and I'm going to say Ohio State's going to get the victory.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and the Bengals coming up on Sunday. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.